You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Bitterness is the black bile of life. This bile has a way of bubbling up every now and then, turning life upside down and even causing death. How many people have not died of black bile, at times of the body and at other times of the spirit? Black bile can work a lot of havoc in the human body. How well do I remember when I was young that my younger brother developed a physical illness about every 6 months, which became so severe as to threaten his life. The doctors did not seem to be able to do anything about it. Then one Sunday, my brother was having one of those sessions, and my father mentioned the subject to a medical doctor who belonged to that congregation. The doctor came to the house that afternoon, took one look at my brother, and said, "I know what's wrong with him. My own son has the same problem. Bile periodically backs up into the stomach and causes this violent upset, with high fever and black vomit that makes you think the patient is going to die." The doctor went on to say that his son had outgrown the problem, and probably my brother would outgrow it too. He was right. This splendid piece of guidance brought a lot of comfort to our family. My brother turned out to be a strong fellow, taller and a lot more handsome than I am, a fine pastor to his people, who remember him even though he was tapped on the shoulder by God himself almost 2 decades ago. It's a mighty comforting thing to have good guidance that leads to healthy attitudes and helpful actions, replacing the black bile of the spirit that so easily and often periodically arises to disrupt life itself and to make it almost unbearable for all, including both the possessor and those who become almost possessed by it. Confronting the bitterness he found in himself and in others, the writer of Psalm 73 concluded that God is the best guide anybody could ever have. "My thoughts," said the psalmist, "were bitter, and my feelings were hurt. I was as stupid as an animal. I did not understand you. Now I will always stay close to you, and you will hold me by the hand. You guide me with your instruction, and at the end you will receive me with honor. What else do I have in heaven but you? Since I have you, what else could I want on earth? My mind and my body may grow weak, but God is my strength. He is all I ever need." That's from Psalm 73. How long does it take people to recognize that God guides, while bitterness destroys? God gives life. Bitterness robs people of life. Many giving merely lip service to God actually give their lives over to bitterness. Bitter people often demonstrate that they will stop at almost nothing in order to give vent to their bitterness. They will slander, steal, treat their parents with contempt, break up marriages, even commit murder, simply in order to satisfy their bitterness. When it comes right down to it, frequently bitterness is the expression of small people with big ideas about themselves who are fired by ambition to be regarded as great and are not willing to make the sacrifices that are necessary to be truly great. In the 12th chapter of Romans, St. Paul cautioned God's people not to go that route. "Let no one think of himself more highly than he ought to think." One quality of Jesus Christ, noticed by all of his apostles, is the humility that characterized him. St. Paul told the Philippians, "Jesus Christ did not have to go around claiming equality with God, but nevertheless emptied himself of his divine privilege, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, and that the death of a common criminal.
It was for this reason that God raised him from the dead and declared him to be the Son of God with power, giving him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There you have God acting in the world. This is the way he does things. It's the way he expects his people to do things. If they had any sense, that's the way they would do them. The psalmist freely admitted that there were times in his life when he didn't have any sense. When my thoughts were bitter and my feelings were hurt, I was as stupid as an animal, he said. He went on to say to God, I did not understand you. Doesn't that sound familiar? Did it hit you maybe where it hurts? A lot of fine people, not to speak about the fools of the world, will recognize themselves in what the psalmist said about himself. I had nearly lost confidence. My faith was almost gone because I was jealous of the proud when I saw that things go well for the wicked. They do not suffer pain. They are strong and healthy. They do not suffer as other people do. They don't have troubles that other people have, and so they wear pride like a necklace and violence like a robe. Their hearts pour out evil, and their minds are busy with wicked schemes. They laugh at other people and speak of evil things. They are proud and make plans to oppress others. They speak evil of God in heaven and give arrogant orders to men on earth, so that even God's people turn to them and eagerly believe whatever they say. They say, God will not know. The Most High will not find out. That's what the wicked are like. They have plenty and are always getting more. Is it for nothing, then, that I have kept myself pure? The lure of the world, said the psalmist, is an enticement to bitterness, to put down others in order to get ahead. When that fails, as it always will, bitterness discloses itself as the black bile it really is. It causes all kinds of things to be vomited up, disrupting life, destroying human relationships, breaking up families, and blaming God for what has gone wrong. In the midst of bitterness, the psalmist got hold of himself. Better still, God got hold of him again. The face of God had not been obliterated, even by this man's bitterness. To God, this psalmist turned, apologizing in his repentance. I always stay close to you, and you hold me by the hand. You guide me with your instruction. When you get a camera, the first thing you do is to read the instruction book. Some of us have not always done that, to our regret. If it is important to read the manual before using a camera, how much more important it is for everyone to turn to God, the author and redeemer of life, for guidance and instruction about life. God's instruction book is the Bible. He tells you things to do and not to do. Better than that, he lays out a path before you, prepared by God himself for a satisfying life. That path, plainly and simply, is Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, sent by his Father to redeem the world, including everyone in it, overcoming the blasting results of human bitterness directed most of all against God himself. People don't really want to have God around. You could be one of those people. The Bible has good news, even for you. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. He died not just for good people who love God, but also for all the good people who are so good that they do not need God, so righteous that they do not need forgiveness, so full of life that they don't have any real idea of what life is all about. The Bible gives us the words of Jesus Christ himself. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of that truth. God is after the highest good. He wants to save people from themselves. There's no one so religious that he does not need to repent and to believe that Jesus died for him. There's no one so irreligious that Jesus did not die for him. No one so far gone that God cannot forgive him. The Bible tells us, just as this psalmist tells us, God takes people by the hand to stay close to him because he wants to save. God has taken action to save the world in the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why believing in Christ is believing in God. Faith is taking God at his word and taking into your own heart that word who became flesh and dwelt among us so that we could behold his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Christ, the commandments of God become not just restrictive measures trying to keep us from destroying ourselves. God guides along the way of life, putting up signposts on the side of the road, pointing in the right direction for a full and satisfying life. You can buy an appliance at a store, nicely wrapped up and never opened. When you get it home, a big surprise awaits you. It needs to be assembled. You can rely on your own logic and fumble around with screwdriver and wrench, trying this way and that to get the thing together properly. Or you can follow step by step the assembly guide provided by the manufacturer. Sometimes even then you have a problem. Somebody put in the wrong screws. There may not be enough screws to do the job. The psalmist apparently knew all about that aspect of life. Something is always missing, but not in the law of God. Your law is perfect, he said, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Not only does everything fit in this flashlight, but it shines. His light shines. You guide me with your instructions, said the psalmist, and at the end you will receive me with honor. The whole thing is a gift from God. With the repentance to turn to God and the faith to see God as he is, like a father showing favor and giving instruction to his children. This is what you see in the face of Jesus Christ. You see God. This is what we proclaim on this program. Not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves merely servants to bring you this good news. The great God who first said, "Let there be light," has shined into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. The grace of God, given freely with forgiveness and life, turns into the glory of God, which is finally his gift to all who put their trust in him. The guidebook of God is the Bible. And the gift of God is so indescribable as to be almost beyond comprehension. His gift is forgiveness and life, which is life indeed. Surrounded by the bitterness of the world, it's high time that you and I learn to live with courage and joy in the light of God's gift, which is for all and is truly received by those who have faith in him. The psalmist was a man of faith. You hold me by the hand, he said to God with the affirmation of faith. And what else do I have in heaven but you? Since I have you, what else could I want on earth? My mind and my body may grow weak, but God is my strength. He is all I ever need. This man was not just a pious hermit sitting off somewhere by himself. He was a man of action. He exercised a lot of authority in his lifetime. He knew all about the trappings of power. Few lives have been as venturesome as his. Still, he always came back to God as the fountain and source of his whole being. This is where courage lies, whether you are young or old. It's where strength comes from God who made heaven and earth. Forgiveness flows from him, and life is renewed by him. Joy bubbles forth from God to overcome the bitterness which is the mark of the small. And people learn to live with faith and love that are the marks of the truly great. What is living like with faith and love toward God? In his guidebook, God does not tell us, eat this fruit, wear these clothes, invest your money this way, go to this college, take these courses at school. In his guidebook, God does not answer every question. When should I get up in the morning? Should I buy this car? Should I consult with this person? His guidebook tells us briefly, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And then it goes on, love your neighbor as yourself. Compassion is the name of the game. When faced with a difficult decision, ask yourself, what's the loving thing to do out of love for God? The guiding principles of God's word are, trust God. Don't worry. See yourself as you are in need of God's forgiveness. Take him at his word that he really forgives and gives life as it was meant to be lived. Forgive as God forgives you. Exercise stewardship over your time, money, and abilities. Live your life looking toward the day when God will receive you with honor. The Bible tells you to pray to God, who is your strength and all you'll ever need. God's not against you. He's your best friend, your loving heavenly Father. Call me whenever you need help. I'm as close to you as your phone, said a friend. God is even closer. He's as close to you as breathing. Stay close to him. Let him hold you by the hand, as everyone does who prays to him with a steadfast heart. The good news of God comes to you right now. Believing in Jesus, you will be saved. God is close to you. He does hold you by the hand. What else do you have in heaven but God? Loving him, what else could you want on earth? What else could possibly be said than what the psalmist said in his conclusion? But as for me, how wonderful to be near God, to find protection with the sovereign Lord, and to proclaim all that he has done. God guides. Not only does he save, he guides. Expect him to guide you. Pray to him to guide you. Look for his guidance on the big sign over the road emblazoned with the words of Jesus himself. Follow me. Yes, it is Christ's invitation to you to follow him from cross to crown, in his grace to his glory that fades not away. God guides. Follow him in faith. God guides. God takes you by the hand. God does not disappoint. God can be trusted. Say to him today, guide me with your instruction, and at the end receive me with honor. Amen.